Good morning.
Good morning.
If you can't hear me, please do this so that I know, because I know that I talk soft. There was a dirty, hunched-over old man leaning against the McDonald's restaurant one day when Ron and I and a dear friend walked in for a quick breakfast. We were heading to my friend's son's graduation at boot camp. Ron was dressed in full navy white dress uniform with medals and ribbons hanging across both sides of his chest. His shoes were as shiny as a mirror, and like every sailor, he walked tall and proud. We ordered breakfast and sat at a booth. Our friend headed to the ladies' room, and as she did, the old man with the lifeless eyes and listless walk, the one that we saw coming into the restaurant, was headed purposefully toward our booth. He slid in across from us, knowing, he said, that he shouldn't be there, but he was following the soldier. He stared, eyes glistening, at the shiny medals hanging at Ron's uniform. As the two men talked, I sat and wondered who he was, where he came from. What is he all about? When our friend returned, he rose and led her into the booth. He tipped his hat and sat back down. I could see her, my beloved southern-born friend, my bestie, cringe and huddle as far away from the stranger as she could. Leaning over the table, she asked me if we couldn't make him leave. But by then, he and Ron were deep in conversation. It wasn't easy sitting next to him. The odor that came from him was overpowering. His face under his matted beard was covered with sores, his voice a raspy whisper, and his hands filthy, thin-skinned, and bruised. But his eyes were bright and his spirit full as he talked with Ron, admiration lighting up in him. He was proud of the Navy man, and he wanted to tell him. He spoke in a quiet whisper as he ended their conversation, tipped his hat, and said, "Ladies." He stood and asked if he might have a dollar to buy a cup of coffee. Ron gave him money to buy breakfast, and the old man left. We watched him walk out of the restaurant with his McDonald's bag clutched in one hand and a cup of steaming coffee in the other. And I wondered, did we do enough for him? Did we welcome him without scorn, really welcome him? Did we make a difference in his life? Could we have done more? Today's gospel brought this story to mind and made me ask whether the good deeds or actions that I have done reserve me a place in heaven, or will I be like the rich man and see Jesus from afar? Will I be separated by a chasm neither I nor the earthly poor can cross? Do I always try to help the poor, comfort the sick, touch the grieving? Do I do enough? Do I care enough? What is this parable saying to us? What is Jesus asking us today? As believers, God's concerned about the poor and expects us to also be concerned, to help the poor, to feed the hungry, house the homeless, care for the sick, comfort the dying, work for justice, all of those things, because that is simply who and how God's people are to be. And I know that all of you sitting here strive to do just that. But the question is not in it. The question isn't what's in it for us, but what's in it for those less fortunate than us. How do we live out our Christianity, our faith? What does our experience of Jesus offer others? Do the choices we make, the words we speak, the actions we take in this life have consequences in the next life? For me, today's gospel isn't a theological analysis of heaven and hell, nor a judgment that rich people go to hell and poor people go to heaven. I believe that this story is about how we live here and now, a reminder that our lives are connected in this world and in the next world. Given what I saw in McDonald's, those may be accurate labels or descriptions for that time and place, but are they accurate labels now? Circumstances and situations change. Stuff happens, and at some points in our life, we have probably all been both the rich man and Lazarus. We can all name times when life has been good, full, and easy, and other times when it has simply left us destitute and broken. And so I think the gospel is challenging us to acknowledge and deal with the gates and chasms that separate us from each other as we walk this earthly journey. God is concerned about the poor, and he expects us to be concerned as well. We reveal God's presence in our lives by sharing God's concern and acting as he acts. That doesn't mean, however, that helping those in need is our ticket to heaven. We do those things because that's simply who and how God's people are to be. The question isn't what's in it for me, but what's in it for them, for that person. I believe there's a relationship between this life and the next life, that the choices we make, the words we speak, and the actions we take in this life have consequences in the next life. Yet for me, this story is not about believing that rich people go to hell and poor people go to heaven. It isn't a story about our future, but about our present. It's about how we live, again, here and now. It's a reminder that who we are and how we live in this world today will be the same in the next world, just as the gate and the chasm in our story are the same thing. The chasm that separates Lazarus and the rich man in the next world is simply the gate that separated them in this world. The rich man carried it with him into the next world. It was part of him. His dividing gate, wealth, gender, race, color, culture, you name it, existed in his heart. The gate that becomes the chasm always exists within us before it exists between us. That means we must examine our own heart to find the gates that separate us from ourselves, our neighbors, our enemies, those we love, and ultimately God. Excuse me. What are those gates for you? For me? For this parish? For our country? What gates do we live with? Fear? Anger? Greed? Pride? Prejudice? Loneliness? Sorrow? Addiction? How about busyness? Indifference? Apathy? Hurt? Resentment? Envy? Cynicism? The list can go on forever. I know you get it. The gates within us are many, and we all have them. But that's not how we are intended to live as Christians. And that's not certainly how Jesus lived. Gates destroy relationships and unmake God's creation. I know what gates you carry with you. I don't know what gates you carry with you, but I do know this. Every time we love our neighbors as ourselves, every time we love our enemies, every time we reach out and help others, gates are opened. I wished I could give you detailed instructions on how to do these things, but it is something we must each live in our own way. It's a choice set before us every day. No one will tell you it's easy, but it is possible. Christ's love, mercy, grace, and presence make it possible for us to open our gates and ensure that they do not become chasms. We already have everything we need to live today in the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the image of who we are to become. He is the open gate and the filled chasms. So today and every day, let your gates be open and your chasms filled. It is what the kingdom of God looks like.